year 1805, just before the Battle of Trafalgar, Admiral Lord Nelson addressed his men, and he issued what has become one of the most famous sayings in English history. He said, "England expects that every man will do his duty." Nelson wanted his men to do what was right, no matter how hot the fighting would become, to stay at their post, to help their comrades who might be injured, to obey their officers. Whatever the duty was, he wanted them to do it, and he called for their commitment to that. It was certainly an emotional appeal, and it was based on pride and a sense of national identity. England expects. Now, when Paul wrote to Philemon this personal letter, he was able to say much more than that. He was also making in this letter a demanding request. He was asking Philemon to do something that was difficult and unusual, and that would be hard. He was asking Philemon to receive back into his home a runaway slave called Onesimus. This was a big request, because Onesimus had broken all the rules. Onesimus had put himself in a position where justice could have imposed on him a heavy penalty. But Paul says, "Receive him back." And then he adds this telling comment in verse 21. "Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask." This is a big request, but I am confident, Philemon, that you will accede to it, and that you'll do more than that. You will be kind and forgiving and supportive. As regards Onesimus, you will do whatever is right. Isn't that a powerful statement? What a great thing to be able to say that about someone. There are different ways you could look at this letter to Philemon. You could look at it from the perspective of Philemon himself, what it would mean to him to receive such a letter. You can look at it from the perspective of Onesimus and all the things that had happened in his life which now form the content of this letter. You can look at it also from the perspective of Paul and how this aged, wise and experienced pastor deals with what was potentially a really difficult situation in the church. Tonight we want to look at it from the perspective of Philemon and what Paul says about him in that 21st verse. Because this is a real challenge to Christian witness and living. "Confident of your obedience, knowing that you will do even more than I ask." Isn't that really what people should be able to say about every professing Christian? "I am confident that no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, no matter how difficult the issues are, no matter how demanding and costly, I'm confident that you will do what is right." Several years ago, I preached on this book. It's a long, long time ago, and I don't have the sermon. But I know I preached on it from the perspective of Onesimus and how he had been converted. And after the service, a man who had been visiting that morning said to me in the vestibule, "You have just told my story." He had left the Shankill Road, a place full of churches and with many Christians in it, and had emigrated to Australia, a place with few churches and scattered Christians. And while he lived in the Shankill Road, he ignored those churches, he ignored the gospel which he heard and knew, and he sailed off to Australia. Now you would think that if he'd ignored the gospel in the Shankill Road, he would probably not be very interested in it when he got to this new world of Australia. But strangely, it was there that he came into contact with a Christian man and he was converted. And so he said to me in the vestibule, "I am Onesimus. This is my story." So we can look at this book from various perspectives. But looking at it from the perspective of Philemon, we want to ask essentially this evening, why was it that Paul had such confidence in Philemon? And what is that saying to us about the consistency of our Christian witness? What is it that will make us like this so that people will think, "I'm confident that he or she will do what is right"? Well, the first thing to note is that it is because of Philemon's devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, Paul says, "I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus." Philemon is a man committed to his Savior, a man who has become a new creature in Christ. And Paul prays, as you notice here, that that relationship of Philemon to his Lord will deepen and grow, that Philemon will increasingly know the riches that are his in Christ, that he will understand more and more and have a firmer understanding of all that Christ has done for him and is doing for him. "I pray," verse 6, "that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." This is foundational, and Paul knows that. And so when Paul makes this request, his confidence that Philemon will do what is right is not based on their friendship, though they are friends. It isn't based on Philemon's sense of general decency. But Paul's confidence is rooted in Philemon's devotion to his Lord. What Philemon is being asked to do is difficult. To receive Onesimus back again into his home is going to require great love, forgiveness, much wisdom, and considerable humility. It is not going to be easy. Think of all the issues. How will the family react? How will the other servants react? But Paul still says, "I'm confident that you will do it because of your devotion to your Savior. And he is with you. And he will give you grace." And isn't it interesting how that's how the letter opens and that's how the letter closes? "Grace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." When Paul made his request to Philemon, he was not asking him to do something in his own strength. This is the encouragement to every believer. And all of us find ourselves facing particular challenges. We all come up against them. We know what is right to do. But it's difficult and it's costly. Let's learn from what Paul says to Philemon. The Lord is with you. Keep growing in your knowledge of Him. Keep growing in your understanding of every good thing you have in Him. And then we'll be confident that you will do what is right. The second reason Paul is so confident that Philemon will do what is right is his love for God's people. The Lord Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other." And that love for brothers and sisters in Christ is evident in the life of Philemon. It's so real, it's so obvious that Paul has heard about it. He's miles away. He's not in Colossae where Philemon lives. He's miles and miles away. But he has heard about the love that Philemon has for God's people. "I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." That love is obvious. And there's a great phrase here that shows us how it expressed itself. "Your love," verse 7, "has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Philemon refreshed the hearts of God's people. The people he met, the members of the church, were blessed through him. He's an encourager. He's a sympathizer. He looks out for people. He sees their anxieties. He sees they're having a difficult time. He sees they're under pressure. He refreshes them. He comes alongside. He gives counsel, shares his wisdom. He loves God's people and refreshes the saints. What a marvelous picture that is. People need that. We need that. Don't we? We need to be refreshed. The world is a weary place. There's much that would pull us down. We need to be refreshed. And in our Christian living, we need to be stirred up, given the right perspective. Philemon does that. And Paul says when he hears about it, it's a great encouragement to him. "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because I hear, Philemon, that you're a man who refreshes the hearts of the saints." Philemon is not acting here, of course, in any official capacity. He's acting as a Christian man. But he's looking out for people. He's speaking to them. He's refreshing them. And so Paul is confident that when Philemon learns about the conversion of Onesimus, he will want to show love to him as well. Love not only prompts Philemon to refresh the saints, but also prompts him to pray, as you notice. Whenever Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison. And people were praying for him, and Paul knew that. But he also knew that Philemon was praying for him. Towards the end of the letter, in verse 22, he says, "I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. I'm a long way off. We haven't spoken face to face, but I know, Philemon, I know that you are praying for me." Philemon's love for God's people prompts him to pray for this servant of Christ. One of the greatest comforts when we are facing trials and difficult circumstances, or just coping with the details of everyday life, is to know that there are brothers and sisters praying for us. Never, ever underestimate. Never underestimate the blessing which that is in answer to your prayers. Philemon loves God's people. And we see that love in the way he refreshes the saints and in the fact that he prays for God's servants. And we see that love also in the place that the church has in his life. The opening greeting is addressed to Philemon and to the church that meets in your home. Church was really important to Philemon. He was committed totally to his local congregation. He was so committed that he opened his house to be the meeting place for that local church. And so Paul is confident that it comes to the life of the church and receiving a man into the church, Philemon will do what is right because of his love for God's people. Is our love for God's people like that? That we refresh our brothers and sisters, that we pray for them, that we love and are committed to our local congregation. Paul is confident that Philemon will do the right thing because of his devotion to Christ, because of his love for God's people, and thirdly, because of his understanding of God's grace. What a story this is. What a remarkable story. No wonder that man converted in Australia thought of this as the picture of what had happened to him. Here's a slave living in Colossae who decides to run away from his owner, and we're not dealing with slavery in any measure here, whatever, that's another question for another study. But that was the reality, that was what existed in society at the time, and Onesimus was a slave in the home of Philemon, and he runs away. And he travels as far as he can. Approximately 1,000 miles. And he reaches the city of Rome. A good place to hide. And a good place to become anonymous. But remarkably, while in Rome, this runaway slave met the Apostle Paul. It seems so unlikely. People suggest various possibilities as to why Paul and Onesimus met. I don't think it's profitable to speculate about that, simply to take the fact that they did meet. You see, Onesimus had been living in a Christian household, the home of Philemon. He'd been living where the church meets. He'd been in a church setting. He had turned his back on that. But in Rome, as he sought to escape from that, the Lord met him and drew him to believe. A remarkable story. How can you explain that? How can you begin to explain that story? There only is one explanation: the grace of God. Onesimus was always under God's eye, always the object of God's mercy. Onesimus may have thought he was anonymous in the big city, but he was known to God. And in God's appointed time and way, Onesimus was awakened and came to believe the gospel and to trust in Christ as Savior. The only explanation for this is the grace of God, the grace that reaches down to us. And this story tells us that there is nowhere that His grace cannot reach, and there is no one who has run so far from Him that His grace cannot stop them in their running and turn them round and bring them to the Savior. How must it have been for Philemon to hear about the conversion of Onesimus? Did he shake his head? Did he say, "Amazing"? Because the last that he remembered of Onesimus was not a very nice thought. Onesimus had not been a very useful member of the household. He'd abandoned his responsibilities. His name means useful, but he had, in fact, as Paul says, he had been useless. He wasn't much help. That's the kind of person he was. But now, Paul writes and says, Philemon, Onesimus has been converted. He must have shaken his head and been filled with amazement. It magnifies the grace of God. How gracious God is to those who are undeserving, and how in His grace He finds those who are not looking for Him. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It is wonderful that salvation is by grace. And here are people who are turning their backs on what they know and fleeing as fast as they can from the gospel. But God in His grace reaches them and brings them to salvation. Grace found him, and grace changed him. He had been useless, but now, Paul says, now, verse 11, he has become useful both to you and to me. It's also possible that when he ran away, he had actually he had robbed Philemon, because Paul refers to and gives an indication of that in verse 18. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. There is the distinct possibility that Onesimus had robbed his master before he escaped. But now his life is transformed. He's changed and turned around. And in Rome, since his conversion, he has proved himself to be a changed man. He's useful. He is serving Christ and the gospel. Verse 13, helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. And the only explanation is the grace of God and the saving power of Christ. So here's Philemon. And he receives this letter, and Paul says, I want you, Philemon, to receive this runaway slave, Onesimus, back home again. And the whole story is one of God's grace. And Philemon will have to say, then I must be gracious to you. So Paul is confident that he will do what is right. But isn't there something here as well that Paul is saying? Says Philemon, here's the story of how God in His grace has changed this man Onesimus. But you know, it's the same grace that changed you as well. It's the same grace that brought you to salvation in a very different way, a much quieter way. There's a little hint of that in verse 19. And it seems that Paul was used in Philemon's conversion as well. not to mention that you owe me your very self. So Philemon, Onesimus, is an amazing story of God's grace. What a story. But Philemon, you are also a story of God's grace. And though it happened quietly with you and dramatically with him, it's the same grace which brought you to the Savior. Isn't grace marvelous? Isn't it marvelous? Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. Isn't God's grace marvelous? Look what it does. I'm confident then that you will do the right thing because you understand in some measure the marvelous grace of God. Finally, I am confident that you will do the right thing because of his respect for God's servant. Paul says here to Philemon, I'm not going to exercise my apostolic authority as I make this request to you. I could do that. I could say, I, Paul, an apostle, order you, Philemon, to do what is right. I'm not going to do that. I prefer to make an appeal on the basis of love. And yet Paul knows that Philemon will take that appeal seriously. He knows that Philemon will respect what he says. He will treat it carefully. Because Philemon is a man who respects leadership in the church. We live, of course, at a time when there is virtually no respect for any authority whatever. And if that lack of respect creeps into the Church of Christ, it is a tragedy. The writer to the Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them that their work will be a joy. That's God's purpose for his church. Proper respect for his servants, for those who are holding responsibility. When that respect is there, there'll be harmony and purpose and protection. Paul says, I'm confident. I'm confident you'll do what is right. Because you're a man who respects God's servants. And you're a man who loves the well-being of Christ's church. See, the world is watching the church. It's looking at Christians. How do they deal with each other? Here's someone who's converted from a totally different background and they come in to the congregation. How are they received? Here's somebody who's a bit of a troublemaker. And he has made a profession of faith. How's he treated? Suspicion? Put on probation for a while? Here's someone who has backslidden and now has returned. How's he treated? Any reservations? This letter shows us healthy life in one local congregation of Christ's church. It shows us members reconciled to one another. It's a powerful testimony of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the way Philemon will receive Onesimus preeminently is for the glory of the Savior. Paul had confidence that Philemon would do the right thing because of his devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love for God's people, because of his understanding of God's grace, and because of his respect for God's servants. Where those things are in place, Christ will be honored among his people and by their lives. May that be a mark seen in us for his honor. Amen.